You're listening to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
In the beginning, there was darkness. Then, out of the void, came fire. Smoke. Roto. Fantasy excellence begins here.
This is your time.
The Roto Experts in the Morning starts now.
This is the Roto Experts in the Morning. Alongside the fantasy executive, Corey Parson, the King, Scott Angle, and Wall Street, Matt Modica. I am Greg Sussman. Fantastic to have you with us here this morning. 8 a.m. in the East, 5 a.m. in the West. Hour to go, live here on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. And, of course, streaming live on the Fantasy Sports Network. CP, what's going on, my man?
Oh, excuse me. What's going on, Mr. Sussman? Listen, we're getting closer and closer to kickoff. Got some preseason action coming up pretty soon. So I'm getting pumped up. I'm getting excited each and every day that goes by that we have fantasy football. You know what I'm saying? NFL is back. So
absolutely.
Yeah.
You know it. Scotty E.
What's up, Scotty?
Yeah, we're ready for it tonight. Starting on rotoexperts.com, 7 p.m. Eastern. Daily live chats with our experts. Begins tonight with FSWA award winner Brandon Murchison from 2016 Best Fantasy Football Series. Get your exclusive Ed Fantasy Football package on rotoexperts.com. Enter the King code at checkout for a special discount.
What was the name of the series?
What was this? I'm trying to actually remember. It might have been his ADP duels.
Okay, honey, yeah. Nice. He does a good job with that. So shout out to Brandon Murchison, you know what I'm saying? So he'll be chatting tonight. And then Venture's chatting one night too, right?
Venture's chatting Friday.
Is he ready?
What?
Is he ready? I have to tutor Venture too.
What time?
I'm not sure. You might
wait. What time is this Chris Venture chat at?
We'll know by tonight.
Okay, well,
he's working.
It's probably going to need to be after 8 o'clock.
It's probably going to be a Friday afternoon special chat.
Look at that.
Yeah, I can allow that.
We're also going to have afternoon chats with Jake Seeley as well.
God, you got that midday special, you know what I'm saying?
That has to be mid-afternoon.
Yeah, afternoon delight. That fantasy delight.
that lunchtime special, Greg, that we talked about on Foul Territory a couple weeks ago.
Foul Territory, by the way, actually airs tonight, 8 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Eastern. Fantastic episode. As it is the best of intro by our own Frank Stample.
Nice job.
Check
Frankie,
that out.
Baby.
Check that out. Matty Mo, what's going on?
It's going, baby. I'm ready. You know, we got another less than a month before us.
Oh, yeah. We're way less than a month.
This weekend, it's going to be interesting. You know, there's a lot of notes to
GST.
Take down. We got the GST coming up. But the dress rehearsal is where it's at.
Scotty, is the GST, outside of the KISS League, your biggest league of the year? You can say no.
Probably not.
Okay.
No, the GST is. The KISS League is not one of the biggest.
Oh, I thought KISS League was most important to you.
No, it's important to me, but, you know, I'm probably going to be in about 10 leagues. It's probably somewhere in the middle, I would say.
What is number one?
It might be the GST.
Well, I'm sorry. I'm going to have to kick your ass in it then. I'm sorry.
I appreciate the trash talk.
You got it. No problem.
I didn't think you had it in you.
Are you staying late with Corey today?
Yeah, I have to teach him back what, you know, he taught me. Yeah.
So you have to teach him back what he taught you.
Yeah. It's a weird circle. I taught him for the first 5 years. Now he thinks he's teaching me.
Oh, you understand that.
It's like I got to hear back what I taught him.
Oh, yeah. Got it. Anyway, we are all not only in the same league, the three of us are all in the same division as well. Matt, sucks that you're not with us, but nevertheless, the three of us ride or die. When we come back, we'll break down your pick of Tyrell Williams here next on the Roto Experts.
In 2016, Scott Engel predicted an impressive second season from Melvin Gordon. Jake Seeley recommended Jordan Howard. Bobby McMahon forecasted a Jay Ajayi breakthrough. George Kurtz saw a big year coming from Matt Ryan. And Joe Galina picked Rishard Matthews as one of his top sleepers. These predictions turned fantasy owners into champions, and the same crew returns this year with more savvy calls in the exclusive Edge Fantasy Football Package at rotoexperts.com. Don't miss the calls that create winners. Register now and enter free radio at checkout for a special discount.
So before we hit the top of the hour here, we have a mini auction. Kind of what we were doing yesterday during this hour of the program.
And we focused on these number three wide receivers. We focused on Devontae Parker and Cameron Meredith, Jeremy Maclin, and players of the like. And the last one we did right at the top of the hour was Tyrell Williams, who went for more money than Parker, than Meredith, than Maclin, than Snead. He went for more than all of them. Scotty, he went to you at $14. Now, it's only a dollar than more than everybody else went for. But it was more. And Scott, you had been conservative throughout the morning on how much you wanted to bid on these players. But for Tyrell Williams, you went up pretty high, and you told us very quickly that he was your number 27 overall wide receiver.
Yeah, actually, I was looking at the wrong thing. It was actually like he's 29.
Okay, so he's your 29 overall wide receiver, still higher than all the rest of the guys that I named, I believe. Where's Willie Snead for you?
Just to confirm. 28.
Okay, so Snead, so you wouldn't pay more than 12 for Snead, which is what Matt Modica bid. But you did pay 14 for Tyrell Williams.
Well, because I felt Snead was gone.
How is he gone? It's an auction.
It's an auction. He's gone.
Well, now he's gone. But why didn't you bid more on Snead when he wasn't gone?
In retrospect, you know, to be honest with you, I probably should have bid more on Snead. But then when he was gone, I said Tyrell Williams, I really want him as my guy. I feel like he's going to play a prominent role in a very potent offense. The catches will be there. The yardage will be there. The connection with Phillip Rivers is there. You know, this is a 1,000-yard receiver with about a 7-8 touchdowns.
1,000 yards is going to be tough for him to get to a lot of pieces in that offense. Let me do some player comps. Tyrell Williams or Julian Edelman?
Julian Edelman.
I would take that. I agree with you on that one.
Yeah.
Even though on a draft day, I might let Edelman go past and take Williams. Tyrell Williams or Stephon Diggs?
Stephon Diggs.
Tyrell Williams or Martavis Bryant?
Martavis Bryant.
How do you have him at 29?
Yeah, and now I'm trying to figure out like how's he at 29?
Like I have Tyrell Williams. Tyrell Williams for me at 39, and every player you've named, I have higher than Tyrell Williams.
That's what I'm trying to.
So how do you have him at 29, Scotty?
Tyrell Williams or Brandon Marshall?
Brandon Marshall.
Tyrell Williams.
Now he's just saying Tyrell Williams.
No, I have him ahead of Marshall.
All right. So you got him. I'm just trying to figure out. Okay. And you got him ahead of Tyreek Hill also? Tyrell Williams ahead of Tyreek Hill?
No.
So you sure you have him at 29?
I'm kind of like moving my rankings around right now.
It's origami time.
Yeah. He's gonna ultimately gonna fall in about 32. Yeah.
Now we're just guessing. Hey Scott, you know you made a promise to me on Monday. You know that, right?
What's that? Oh, I know.
The
week's not over.
You only got one day.
No, I got 2 days.
There's only one more day in the program.
Right. What's the bet?
You made a promise to me on Monday morning.
Then I was gonna write the.
I may be wrong.
I got two more days.
You got one more day of the programming left.
You need to have it written today
for Friday. But if you don't, then it's fine. I'll have to do it.
Remember, Dick, it's your boss. Scotty said you need to have it written today.
I'm not even listening.
Is somebody over here?
That's Matt Medica over there, Scott.
Yeah, I just hear, ooh, ooh, ooh.
How are you going to be doing your Dr. A impressions as you're doing Matt Medica impressions today?
I never did an impression of Dr. A.
Yeah. Moving on. Oh, God. I'm glad you named the players you named, Corey. Because with all the players that we have discussed, the auction that you guys, like Martavis Bryant, Julian Edelman, Stephon Diggs, they're all there too.
Yeah, this is a tier for me.
This is definitely a tier for me.
I have a tier that starts with Brandon Marshall and ends with Dante Moncrief.
Is Larry Fitzgerald in that tier?
Larry Fitzgerald is the tier above it.
Okay.
So he's two. So Larry Fitzgerald is two slots higher than this tier. Larry Fitzgerald's in a tier with Jamison Crowder. That's tier with Jamison Crowder that ends with Willie Snead. It's six wide receivers in that tier.
Yeah,
so Crowder being number one in that tier, Snead being number six in that tier. Can you guess the people who are in that tier? With Jamison Crowder.
With Jamison Crowder.
Jamison Crowder is the high man in the tier. Willie Snead is the lowest guy in the tier.
Terrence Williams.
Terrence Williams is funny, Scott.
Is Jarvis Landry in that tier?
Jarvis Landry is in that tier. Ding.
Thank you.
Tyreek Hill.
Tyreek Hill is not in that tier.
Is Emmanuel Sanders in that tier?
Emmanuel Sanders is not in that tier. He's right outside that
Pierre
tier.
Pierre Garçon
is not in that tier. He's a little bit lower down.
That tier, is Michael Crabtree in that tier?
Michael Crabtree's in a tier above that.
Okay, so that's where I am. All right.
Larry Fitzgerald.
We said Larry Fitzgerald already, but Larry Fitzgerald's in that tier. That's two.
Stephon Diggs.
Stephon Diggs is not in that tier.
Allen Robinson.
Allen Robinson's in a tier higher than that.
Golden Tate.
Golden Tate's in a tier higher than that.
Michael Crabtree.
Sammy Watkins.
Higher. Ding. Sammy Watkins is in that tier right there. Not Michael Crabtree. He's in the higher one, Matt.
Tyreek Hill, we said that already?
Tyreek Hill is not in that tier, and we just mentioned Willie it already. Sneed? Willie Sneed is in that tier, yes.
How many left do we have?
So you got I gave you Jameson, right?
Mm-hmm.
You got Jameson Crowder, you got Sammy Watkins, you got Jarvis Landry, you got Larry Fitzgerald, you got Willie Sneed. It should be easy.
Stephon Diggs?
Corey Davis.
It should be, God, no, not Tyler that Williams. High. No, it should be easy. If Jameson Crowder is the first player in the tier.
And Dante Moncrief's last.
And Willie Sneed is the last player in the tier.
Alshon Jeffrey?
Julian Edelman?
No, Julian Edelman's in the lower tier.
Pierre Garçon, we said?
Come on, who's the player everybody loves that I'm ranking Jameson Crowder ahead of?
Oh, Terrell Pryor.
There you go right there. That tier is Jameson Crowder, Terrell Pryor, Sammy Watkins, Jarvis Landry, Larry Fitzgerald, Willie Sneed.
We do have to have a Jameson Crowder Terrell Pryor bet.
At some point, yes, I would like to have that.
Oh, so I could do a French dip in
black and blue.
Huh?
I could do a French dip in the black and blue down.
That's not a bad idea.
That was good. That was good on Friday, right?
That was very nice. I want to do the Jersey one, but I'm never going to wear a DC jersey.
I'll do a Jersey one. You can get a Cowboy jersey.
Scotty, let me throw this back at you, my friend.
Be a Jersey bet on the line.
Kelvin Benjamin or Tyrell Williams?
Tyrell Williams. Oh. I have them right next to each other.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right, fair enough. I know, Corey, you're not exactly high on Kelvin Benjamin.
Terrell's
no, I moved him up. I moved Kelvin Benjamin up a little bit, but not to where people are going to, well, not to where the industry has him. But I do have Tyrell, ranked ahead of Kelvin Benjamin.
Tyrell Williams or Jonathan Moncrief, Scotty?
Tyrell Williams.
Okay. All right. Fair enough. Last one, Tyrell Williams or Adam Thielen?
Tyrell Williams. I do like Thielen, though.
Where do you have him ranked?
Thielen I have at, let's see, let's scroll down a little
now,
bit.
Now, Williams had 1,000, while Scott looks for that. Williams had 1,000 yards. He had over 1,000 yards last season. Williams had over 1,000 yards last season, but let's remember that offense, you know, a little bit more helter-skelter last year playing from behind, and then you didn't have Keenan Allen being that big target. But the kid Tyrell Williams did get busy, and I still think he gets busy this season. I like him a lot. 1,000 yards is going to be hard for him to crack if you get 16 games of the young man Keenan Allen, because he's definitely the go-to guy, number one wide receiver. But Tyrell Williams is a very serviceable wide receiver 3 in fantasy football.
Well, let me see.
Very serviceable. But you do not want him as a wide receiver 2. That's dangerous territory when you got Tyrell Williams as a wide receiver 2. That's very dangerous territory.
I personally got him as my wide receiver 4.
Exactly. He's a 4.
I agree with that as well.
3-4. A 3 I'm comfortable with. A 4 is perfect.
You mentioned Tyrell Williams. Let me say this. The guy 4-for-4, Chris Raven, Corey's going to reach out to me.
I don't know. He might as well be here today. You keep talking about him.
Well, listen, I want to give credit.
I feel you. I'm just teasing you.
I have his article up. I want
to. Shout out to Chris Raven.
I wish I reached out to him. I did this too late last night. I didn't think it was right. I'll reach out to him to get him on the program next week.
I'll send him a DM right now.
Send him a DM right now. Because I think this article is awesome. And
oh, wait a minute. Michael Lloyd just tweeted origami time. It's about Scott Rankins. Remember Madika said Scott Rankins fought fold like origami? Michael Lloyd just tweeted origami time. Scott. I got you, Scott.
How is that funny when he said it's
coming with me, Scott?
It's
coming with me. Because when the listeners pick up on it, Scott, it's very funny to me.
I just think you want to do your laugh. I'm so funny.
Matt said it first. It was funny.
I'm about to send Chris Raven a DM so we can stop talking about him.
This does come directly from his article. You mentioned Keenan Allen, right? In each of Allen's 4 seasons in San Diego, because they played in San Diego, obviously, do you know who the most targeted player in the red zone was in the 4 seasons?
With Keenan Allen?
He has played there for 4
Antonio
years.
Gates?
So Antonio Gates had led the team in red zone targets 2 times out of those 4 years. Tied with Hunter Henry last year. But 2 times out of those 4 years. Other one, Danny Woodhead, which means a wide receiver for the Chargers in the last 4 years with Ken Whisenhunt as the offensive coordinator for two out of those four, left came back, whatever. Did not target a wide receiver incessantly inside the red zone. Is that going to change in 2017? I mean, I like Keenan Allen. I love him from the PBR perspective.
Phillip Rivers loves throwing to the tight end in the red zone. Look at Hunter Henry and Antonio Gates.
Correct.
That's why I was fighting with that Hunter Henry stuff. I think
that's your hill right there, Matt. Hunter Henry is your hill.
Yeah, I went on that hill. I wasn't on it prior, but I'll go on the Hunter Henry hill. Yeah. I'm fine.
You're on the Austin Hooper Hunter Henry hill.
Austin Hooper's going to be damn good.
I think he's going to really good.
That's catchy. Austin Hooper, Hunter Henry hill.
I'm going to H's there.
Henry Hill, Goodfellas.
When we come back, we'll talk more about Raven's article. All the credit to you, Chris. We'll be back right after this.
Have you ever wanted to have a fantasy expert in the palm of your hand? Or better yet, in the pocket of your khakis? Well, check it out. Now you can. It's the Fantasy Sports Radio Network app. Download it now to your phone. We promise no weird viruses, no strange tracking things. Just 24 hours a day, 7 days a week of pure fantasy knowledge dropping all over your head. It's the Fantasy Sports Radio Network app. Stop being a weirdo and streaming it online. Get it on your phone. Take it with you everywhere you go.
Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
Hey.
Hanging out with you this morning. And it's that time of the week where we're going to get all our injuries healed and all the information that we can handle. Because we welcome in the good doctor. Dr. A, welcome back to the Roto Experts in the Morning.
Thank you, guys. I was wondering, did Corey pick the intro song there?
You like that?
It sounded like a Corey.
You like that jam, don't you, there, Doc?
Dr. A.
Good jam, I'm not going to lie.
There you go. Greg, can I start? Because I got something I want to get into with Dr. A right off the top.
Why do I even work here?
Sorry. Yo, Doc, Jordan Reed, right? If I'm not mistaken, right, from my limited medical knowledge, if I'm not mistaken, what Jordan Reed is dealing with right now is what Julio Jones dealt with last year.
Yeah, you know, anything involving the toe, it could be turf toe. A lot of times, you know, there's so many tendons and ligaments around the toe, as well as, you know, a bone contusion, and, you know, there's just a lot of different things there. So it may or may not be exactly the same injury that Julio Jones suffered, but there's a high likelihood, especially the fact that he's similar to a wide receiver, obviously, that he runs around and catches the football. So turf toe is definitely a possibility. Man, but, you know, we've been talking about Jordan Reed for a long time, last season as well. This whole preseason, throughout the end of last season, you know, we've always had him at high injury risk, no matter what happens, no matter, you know, if every doctor gives him the clear. Our algorithms are just, he's never wavered below high injury risk all the time. And before this injury, he was also high injury risk, and then, boom, he's got this grade 2 toe injury. And that's not a good sign, guys. I mean, like, you know, if anybody's drafted him so far, that's not, you know, he's significantly risky there. And, you know, I'm still recommending that he is a risky draft pick. It's not someone that you would be kind of pushing for. And, yeah, I mean, that's pretty much it. He's missed 18 games in 4 seasons.
Doc, Jay Ajayi and Devonta Freeman are both dealing with concussions. What's your outlook for both of them? And, Doc, are there different levels of the concussion?
Yeah, there are different levels of concussions. Obviously, really? a grade one concussion is, you know, it all depends upon the passing of certain questions and memory tests, etc. But you know, grade one is less than a week. Grade two is where they go under a more severe watch because they can't remember certain things, and from a memory standpoint, and there's some memory loss which has to come back. And so, yes, there are different levels. Jay Ajayi looks like he suffered really just a grade one concussion. It's his first concussion, which is, you know, a good thing for a running back because they usually suffer quite a bit of them. And so even though, you know, he was low in peak before this concussion and now he's elevated, but by the beginning of the season, he should be back to low in peak. I'm not concerned about Jay Ajayi at all. Devonta Freeman, however, you know, this is the second concussion in 2 years. And, you know, the first concussion, okay, if it's a mild one, we'll go with it. And, you know, it shouldn't affect his numbers too much. But The second concussion is a big warning sign, and that's why the algorithm has basically taken him to high injury risk, and he will be at high injury risk now for the rest of the season. The second concussion is the key here. And so the likelihood of having a third concussion this season is very high, missing some significant playing time. So he's at high injury risk, and he becomes now a risky drop pick.
We were talking yesterday about this. I'm going to get back to Devontae Freeman in a second, being a risky draft pick. But we were talking about this yesterday, Corey, all of us,
yeah,
about this level of concussions.
Yeah.
And you know, Corey and I made a very impassioned plea to Scott. Like, listen, the teams will tell you that you have a mild concussion or a grade one concussion. But, like, when you have a concussion, your brain's rattling around. And, you know, even a mild concussion is extremely, extremely serious. And that's why we were just like,
there's no level to a concussion. Like, you can't have a spicy concussion.
Well, it's the same mechanism of injury where it's basically a brain bruise. I mean, I don't want to sort of, you know, I'm trying to keep it non-complicated here,
yeah,
but the brain moves in a sort of microscopically with the hits. And so it causes fluid and edema buildup that's microscopic. And it's just the severity of concussion is actually how much bruise and fluid buildup there is. You know, obviously the most severe concussions can happen with other things that happen in terms of, you know, if there's a fracture to the skull or there's, you know, a little bit of a bleed. But those are severe. Usually that does not happen with a concussion. It's usually associated with brain functionality from a memory standpoint and from a deductive processing standpoint. So you're right. There are severe levels, different levels of concussion. But, you know, it all depends upon how these guys answer questions and go through the concussion protocol that specifically determines the level and severity of that concussion.
Hey, Doc, good morning. Ty Montgomery, he has a soft tissue injury. What do you got for us here? Because I really don't know what's going on, and he's a player of interest for me, so love to hear what you have.
Yeah, so, you know, the one thing about Ty Montgomery, if you guys don't remember, he's got multiple history of ankle injuries. And, you know, whenever a team says lower leg injury, and a guy that has a lot of ankle injuries, you have to worry about potentially a high ankle injury, okay? And teams don't like to just throw that out there because, man, a high ankle injury is not good for a football player at all. And so right now we've listed this as a grade one leg injury, but because of his history of ankle injuries, we were worried of the fact that if he sustained another leg injury or potential ankle injury, it could really worsen his numbers. Right now, he's at elevated and below average. He was at low injury risk before. This is a very minor injury. So we expect him, if it's just a grade one, if he rests for 2 weeks, he should be back to a low injury risk until we have more information. But the key thing here is I'm wondering if the team is just not releasing the fact that it's a high ankle sprain, because high ankle sprains take a lot longer, you know, to recover from, as you guys remember.
Yeah, there's no doubt about that. The high ankle sprain, you can really take anywhere from 6 to 8 weeks with the high ankle sprain. So Ty Montgomery is definitely something that we're going to have to monitor. You want to follow up on
I
that?
Just wanted to say, so that's, it sounds like Montgomery's not going to be ready for the dress rehearsal. So something.
That's an issue, yeah.
Yeah. We need to get. This is one of those things where the season doesn't start, so the teams don't have to report yet in the official NFL reporting injury system. So we're going off of a lot of the different information that we're getting and plugging that into the algorithm. And right now, it's saying that it's a grade one leg injury, 2 weeks to recovery. He'll be back right now. Right now he's at elevated injury risk, and he's probably currently going to stay at elevated injury risk. So, to answer your question, he becomes now a cautious to risky draft pick. You should stay away from him.
I want to go back to Devontae Freeman, though, because you said the same thing there, Doc, that given that this is a second concussion and it's taking, you know, it'll take him slower to come back from, he becomes a risky draft pick as well. Is he going to be ready, you know, when does he get back, I guess, to a low-grade rest? Because I am invested in Devontae Freeman. I expect big things out of him this week, this year. When can I be able to trust him again?
How can I say this? Never.
Wow.
Unfortunately. So running back, concussion, second concussion, the likelihood of him having a third concussion is very high. And, you know, these guys get hit all the time. If he was a different player, it may be different, but running backs get, you know, and he, his snaps may be limited, which doesn't help you at all as a fantasy player. And so, to tell you the truth, he will stay at elevated to high injury risk for the whole season now because of that second concussion and because of the position that he plays. That's just one of a few metrics and inputs that we take into this. So, you know, unfortunately, here's the guy. If he didn't sustain another concussion, you know, he should have been okay. But because he sustained the second concussion, the high likelihood of him having a third concussion this season.
Very, very interesting stuff. That's Dr. A, Inside Injuries. Corey, I know you wanted to point out Devontae Booker because he's a name that you've been, you know, on for months.
Yeah, Doc. Doc, please tell me Devontae Booker is going to be ready to go for week one, if not week two.
Can you take week four?
Oh, week four, Doc?
So he's suffered a wrist fracture, and they're not. See, the interesting thing is running backs with wrist fractures, they don't release the side. Because other teams will pick up on that and go after that targeted area, okay? And so, but if you look at him, he carries the ball with both of his hands, some more on the left sometimes than on the right. And so if the problem with this is that when he carries the ball on the affected hand, if he doesn't have this fracture healed properly before he comes back, he'll have pain. And when you have pain in that carry hand, fumble risk is very high. If it's on the other hand, how is he going to defend himself against people that are trying to tackle him, you know? And so he needs to get full recovery, which is 7 weeks according to us. And so week one is just, if he does start week one, you got to be very, 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 very cautious with him. Week three, the earliest, week four would be very comfortable.
Doc,
sorry for the bad news.
Doc, would you be able to hang with us, we have a break coming up. I know we have one more question in regards to John Brown that Scotty wants to ask and his sickle cell trait. Would you mind just hanging out with us through the break so we just ask you that one last question?
Absolutely.
Awesome.
Absolutely.
All right, when we come back, we'll talk more with Dr. Ray because the John Brown question is something we talked about on every show for the last day and a half. So we'll ask Dr. Ray about that when we come back. It's the Roto Experts in the Morning on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
Quarterback to receiver hookups, running back depth analysis, rookie values in dynasty leagues, deep sleepers, training camp battles. These are just a few of the in-depth features you will find inside the 2017 RotoExperts.com Exclusive Edge Fantasy Football Package. Plus, you get a full year of in-season coverage as a bonus. Get the Exclusive Edge Fantasy Football Package now at RotoExperts.com. Enter free radio at checkout for your special discount.
Yo, we got really great information from Dr. Ed in regards to Devontae Freeman. And I know, Scott, you had another question you wanted to throw out to the good doctor. So Dr. Ray's still here with us on the Roto Experts in the Morning, Scotty.
Yeah, real quickly, Doc, on just each one of these, just with Freeman, one more follow-up. What about the fact that he's coming out of the concussion protocol as soon as this weekend? And the other real quick on Ezekiel Elliott, if he ends up missing 6 games, will that affect his conditioning, make him more risk for an injury? I know we talked about a similar thing with Marshawn Lynch missing a year.
Yeah, so let's take the Ezekiel Elliott question first. So I believe if you are suspended, you cannot practice with the team. And so that is a concern because of conditioning is not the issue. It's more about getting your body in NFL playing shape when, you know, the rest of the team has already had 6 games under their belt. And so the injury risk does go, you know, high in the first game. and then starts to drop off a little bit after game two, game three, game four, and then it should be back to normal by game five. So the first game that he comes back, the injury risk is elevated, but that does not prevent him from having a great game if he just stays injury-free. So his ability to perform is fine. It's just that he hasn't been able to practice with the team, and so that's going to be the reason why his injury risk is elevated. And Scott, I didn't understand your question about Devontae Freeman.
Saying with Zeke Elliott works backwards, that for every game that he misses, that decreases?
Every game that he misses, that increases his injury risk,
right?
Because he can't practice with the
gotcha,
team.
Gotcha.
Right?
Okay, I gotcha. With Freeman, I wanted to know, what about the fact that he's coming out of the concussion protocol pretty quickly, and actually that first concussion was in 2015.
It doesn't really, there's not like a quote unquote statute of limitations on how long ago a concussion is. It's just when you get a first concussion and then a second concussion, that means your brain is more susceptible to a lesser hit and sustaining a concussion. So he'll come out of concussion protocol, but his ability to play is still there. So I'm not saying that he can't go and run for 150 yards and have two touchdowns. It's just that if he takes another hit to the head, a lesser hit will cause a concussion again, and that's why his injury risk is high. So you may have him like the first couple games that he does great, but then he sustains a head injury in the third game, and then he's out for six games. You know what I mean? So that is why there's a high injury risk with Devontae Freeman.
And the follow-up that I wanted to have here, Doc, is in regards to John Brown. And as I kind of said earlier in our show, every show yesterday opened with John Brown and the Arizona Cardinals wide receiver situation, and given their lack of talent there, other than Larry Fitzgerald. But John Brown, who a month ago everyone was talking up, instead, they've kind of turned on him, and a lot is kind of given with the sickle cell trait because it's taking him so long to recover from injuries. I don't know if this is a thing that goes away, and of course, you've said that you have friends with the trait, and he's never the same. How do we, what is exactly this trait? How long does it take for people to recover with injuries from it? How should we react with John Brown?
So the one thing that's the most important thing from a injury recovery standpoint is blood flow. When you have what's called vascularity and blood flow to that affected area, that's the delivery mechanism of all the healing factors, basically. But in people with sickle cell trait have a, their red blood cell configuration is different. And so their ability to have blood flow like the rest of us to that area is a little bit limited. So therefore, the healing process is a little affected by that. And so they need a longer time to recover than a person that does not have that, sickle cell trait. So that is a true fact. Unfortunately, it does impact NFL football teams. I mean, you've heard of these guys that can't, and they also can't play in high altitude games because of the oxygenation level. So when you go out to Denver, they can't play in that game. So that's also kind of impacts the team in that sense because they have to game plan around, So that's the main reason why is that their blood flow to the area that's affected is somewhat compromised, and it takes a longer time to heal than the normal athlete.
There you go. Dr. A, Inside Injuries. We talk to him each and every week. It's just fantastic information today, Doc. We really appreciate the extra time.
Hey, one quick thing, guys. Mike Williams, they decided not to operate on him, as you can see, and try to get him back in October. He's resting. I'm extremely concerned and worried about that. With a grade 3 spine injury there, with possibly a herniated disc. So our algorithm is basically calling him elevated injury risk for the whole season now. Just want to give you that tidbit. So.
Thank you very much, Dr. A.
There you go. Mike Williams is probably someone you should not be drafting on fantasy football teams this year. Dr. A, Inside Injuries. Thank you very much, Doc.
Hey, guys. Thanks.
Hey, right, another cool injury thing that's interesting also, and it's looking a lot like last year. Jamal Charles.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Remember, it was every week last year. He's going to practice next week. He's going to practice next week. Absolutely. He's going to practice next week. He's going to play next week.
He's going to retire before he plays.
There you go, Greg. The first a couple weeks ago, he's going to play in that second preseason
first
game.
First preseason game.
Yeah, it was there. He's going to play in the first preseason game. Didn't play. Going to play in the second preseason game. Now he's not going to play. If he doesn't play in week three, I would expect a retirement for Jamal Charles coming sometime soon.
Ryan Matthews, Denver Bronco.
Zero shares.
Potentially.
Yes, yeah, there's no reason.
I think he said zero shares, but three.
I popped up in the juice.
Devontae
always good stuff from Dr. A.
Yeah, no, really excellent stuff today. I think Devontae Booker coming back. But you know what? Nobody likes him. C.J. Henderson's really going to get the first crack at this thing. Like, I know D'Angelo Henderson is there. C.J. Anderson's going to legitimately get the first crack at this thing.
But he was always going to get the first crack.
I know, right? but
I think the skill set on Book is better.
But I feel like this competition's kind of eliminating himself right now, right? Yeah. Booker is hurt. Charles is hurt. It's C.J. Anderson's job.
They know who he is.
If he can
C.J. Anderson does usually get hurt, too, though.
But no question. But he's the last man standing right now.
100% right.
And if he can get off and running, who knows? Who knows?
We've never seen it over a full season.
No, we have not.
Never.
No, we have
but
not.
To me, though, the big question, like, around the table is, like, how do we react to this Devonta Freeman news?
I'm still drafting him. I think Freeman's the type of kid that, you know what, I'll be honest, I hate to say it this way, I think Devonta Freeman's the type of dude that'll hide a concussion.
I don't disagree. But I think you say that about a lot of football players.
Yeah, exactly. A lot of them, you know what I'm saying?
But, I mean, what happens if, like, Jay Ajayi gets his second concussion?
Well, to be honest with you, I think that's even a bigger deal. Because as Scott pointed out, Devontae Freeman's first concussion came in 2015, right? So if
Said there's no statute of limitations.
I understand that. But if Ajayi gets a concussion, two concussions within a three-week span, that's a monster deal. Same for Freeman if he gets another one, too. Yeah. The right back position is very, very volatile. We know that.
Yeah,
that's why I like to get some volume in there. You know. Like.
Speaking of running backs, speaking of, you guessed it, Chris Raybon. He said this about my man, Lamar Miller.
Oh God, please don't do this. I got something for the frenzy. Right, last night was the first draft that the best players. That play fantasy did last night, and I'm going to tell you where Lamar Miller went in that draft. But go ahead.
Since Bill O'Brien took over, only two teams have given a running back 20 plus touches in more games than the Texans. But after Lamar Miller ranked sixth in the league in touches per game last season, 21 touches per game, O'Brien said he wanted to cut down Miller's workload to keep him fresh. Houston has averaged the seventh fewest targets to running backs per season since O'Brien took over, which means they don't throw to the running back. He had a career low reception to rush ratio last season.
It's no reason to draft him.
Would you rather have C.J. Anderson or Lamar Miller?
You know, why would you give me those two dudes that's not on my board? I'll actually take C.J. Anderson over Lamar Miller. Let me drop him down my ranking some more. To prove a point. But listen, the industry is with me. I'm telling you right now.
I never said they were.
The industry is with me.
Where do you have him ranked?
Lamar Miller?
Yeah.
33rd.
I don't. How many people in the industry have him that low?
I'm going to win the damn accuracy thing this year.
I'm
taking Jake off his throne.
I'm not asking how many. You said the industry is with you. That's not what I asked you.
Oh,
if the industry is with you, how many people have ranked 33?
The expert industry is with me. I'm looking at the first draft board.
I guarantee you have them lower than everybody else.
I'm looking at the first draft board from the FFWC where the best players play, right? And he went 5-1. Nobody is on this guy.
No, but that's not 33rd overall,
RB
though.
What?
You didn't answer my question.
He went off the board as RB 18, but still, 5-1?
Yes. So the industry's not with you. You have 15 spots.
5-1? What's his Fantasy Pros ADP?
ADP? As far as industry types versus high stakes types, industry
17.
Types, I think they have him like in that number 14. He's definitely top 15.
Yeah, I have him at 17, right? And I'm not with you. See, you're talking to me, Corey. It's like you're saying the industry's with you. He went off at number 18. I have him at 17. You have him 15 spots below that. So it's
look at the draft capital on him. See, and what's his fantasy
look,
pros?
I'm not
ADP?
High on the guy, but
ADP is 27.
You see, you can't do that. That's wrong. That's a bad pick at 27. 27, that's the 2-3 turn. Why in the hell would you take Lamar Miller on the 2-3 turn?
Look, I'm not big on Lamar Miller, but the way you have him, you're way lower than everybody else to the point where it's like alarming.
Ring the alarm. Lamar Miller effing sucks. Ring the damn alarm.
All I want is for Lamar Miller to be good.
Scorned.
That's all I want.
I'm not scoring, Scott.
You ranked him fourth last year.
I'm not no reason to have... Scott, I won't believe... I got to tell Atkins to send me my final rankings for last year.
I have them.
I have them, too.
That's not the fun. Atkins got the right one.
Listen.
It's published.
I'm going to drop Lamar Miller back.
You should.
I'm not going to drop him at 43.
Here's the thing.
49 next week.
Here's the thing. I tell Greg Lamar Miller sucks. Sit next to him every day. But it takes Chris Rayburn, who he's never met.
No,
you know what I'm saying?
Here we go with this again.
We'll be back
with this. Quarterback to receiver hookups. Running back depth analysis. Rookie values in dynasty leagues. Deep sleepers. Training camp battles. These are just a few of the in-depth features you will find inside the 2017 RotoExperts.com Exclusive Edge Fantasy Football Package. And it's power-packed with so much more, including fully sortable player projections and a custom cheat sheet generator. Plus, you get a full year of in-season coverage as a bonus. Get the Exclusive Edge Fantasy Football Package now at RotoExperts.com. Enter free radio at checkout for your special discount.
Minutes here, all the Roto experts in the morning, and we talked about Devontae Freeman earlier. Interestingly enough, Steve Sarkisian wants to play Freeman and Coleman together. Remember, Sarkisian runs the outside zone scheme, which is what Kyle Shanahan does. Same type of thing. So you like that about Freeman, and you like that about Coleman. Sarkisian has said, according to ESPN, that he is putting them in the backfield more often together than Kyle Shanahan did, because Sarkisian doesn't use the fullback as much as Shanahan did. What can we take of that, Corey?
One of the things, I don't know much about his coaching tree, Sarkisian, but one of the things that he's been known for in the college ranks, obviously not in professionals, is producing 2,000-yard running backs. That's his thing.
Yeah. So both Coleman and Freeman, and we talk about Freeman again with the concussion, maybe move Coleman up a little
Why
bit.
Why do you think I'm high on Coleman?
Do you think Devontae Freeman's gonna get concussed?
No. Because Sarkisian is going to make the best out of both running backs.
Yeah, and it's smart football too, because you have two outstanding talented running backs there. You want to keep the defense off balance. Which one's going to get the ball?
Yeah, there you go. You keep them off balance.
Yeah.
So you tell them to stand on one leg and you push them. That's how you keep them off balance.
It's funny you say that. Speaking of off balance, I've been reading about Eric Flowers, who just is consistently off balance.
Oh my God, that guy stinks. I cannot wait. Do y'all play like the Texans or something this year? So like J.J. Watt or Jadeveon Clowney can sack Eli Manning to hell?
I don't think so.
Well, the inside, there's some good linemen on the inside, though.
They're okay. Know,
Rich Berg,
Eric
et
Flowers, the left tackle,
Richburg's
right?
Not very good. Yes. It's crazy. It just pisses me off that they knew this is their biggest weakness and they did nothing to nothing.
They're still pretty good at center and guard.
But the left tackle, when he turns this way to throw the football,
so?
Scott.
Didn't they make a movie to blindside?
Scott, the left tackle might be the most important player on the team, because when the quarterback turns this way to throw the football to Odell Beckham, Flowers lets somebody as unathletic as me run right past him and sack the quarterback into the next.
Whitworth would have been a nice signing for them.
He would have. Yeah, but
there's too much money. The Giants ain't going to drop that bag.
So you say he's a turnstile.
He's a turnstile.
Yes.
Eric Flowers is a turnstile that's going to get Eli Manning's head knocked off. No, let me not say that.
You caught yourself open.
Yeah, I was going. Never. I wish nothing but health for every player in the NFL.
What's coming up next on the Fantasy Football Frenzy?
Coming up next on the Fantasy Football Frenzy, we are going to go over some of the latest news from NFL training camps. We're going to check out some tight end sleepers. Also, I want to go over the Jake's PPR rankings. I got a good range of some players that I think I want to get Jake's opinion on, I know, and Matt, and also get the audience involved. And then, you know, we'll do some YouTube Live. Jen Ryan's going to join the program. And I got some the best, in my opinion, fantasy players. The FFWC, they had their first draft last night, and I had some interesting results. I can't give you all the results, but I got some highlights that I'm allowed to share.
Why aren't you allowed to give all of the results?
Because these are like, they want FFWC results to be private.
Why?
Because they don't want to get it out to the masses, because people that's drafting 2 weeks from now, you know what I'm saying? They could look at these. So if I'm in a league, right, mm-hmm. I don't want everybody to know what my team looks like.
You host a radio show every day, give your team out.
Yeah, but see, these people don't host radio shows. Feel what I'm saying?
Sure.
Why is that the case for the NFFC then?
Huh? That's not where the best play is playing, in my opinion.
I disagree.
I knew that. I was waiting
Shots
for that.
Fired.
I was waiting for that. And Matt Modica's been very
full. I'll put the New York Super up against any league there
they're
is.
Both high stakes. I don't get it.
It's different player pools.
I'll put the player pool in the New York Super up against any league once again.
I mean, me and Matt disagree on this vehemently. Okay.
Glenn Lowy, Billy Waz, Michael.
Glenn Lowy plays in FFWC.
I hear you, but these are the guys that are in this one league. Eddie Gillis, Frank Mamula.
Yeah, this is, the leagues are the same.
I can probably,
it's a lot of the same players. There's a lot of cross-pollination, but I just think the FFWC is tougher, the competition.
I'm excited to hear the conversation with you gentlemen and Jake Seeley coming up next here at the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. For Matt Modica, for the King, Scott Engel, and for the Fantasy Executive, Corey Parson, my name is Greg Sussman. Have a fantastic rest of your afternoon. We'll see you back here tomorrow, 6 a.m. East, 3 a.m. Pacific, for another edition of the Roto Experts in the Morning. Bye-bye.